have a guest speaker here or not. We're waiting for him. Oh, I think I see someone coming through.
Shalom, Brother Jeff. I don't know if you recognize me or not. I was born 2 years after Noah died. My father is Terah, who Joshua talks about being an idol worshiper. So there were idols in my home when I grew up as a kid. And you may know who I am. The kids sing a song about me, and it's ridiculous. I grew up in an area that you would think of as the Fertile Crescent or Mesopotamia. The Bible calls it Ur of the Chaldees. It's a very, very advanced place, and the technology was some of the highest in the whole area. It was a very nice place to grow up. And you can still see pictures of some of the ancient buildings that they had in Ur of the Chaldees to this day. I grew up in Ur, and then I traveled to Haran. And at the age of 75, this is when God finally called me. And I'd like to show you the scripture that describes my life. It'll lay out what's going to happen over the next few years of my life. It's found in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So this is what God called me to do. God called me to leave my family, leave the land that I knew, and go somewhere that I had never been before, some I had no idea about. And this meant leaving my comfort zone, leaving where I felt safe. This was a very scary thing to do, to put yourself in a spot where you feel uncomfortable, you don't feel safe. This is what I was called to. And God made some promises to me. He would give me a specific land, or he promised me a land. We call it the promised land. And this was a specific area that would just be for my descendants. And he said that my descendants would be a great nation someday. There'd be a lot of my descendants. And he said, if those that bless me, he would give a blessing to them. And those that cursed me, they would receive a curse. This is a special protection from God. And he said that from my descendants would be a blessing on the entire earth. They'd be a coming Messiah that would come from my line of children. And this coming Messiah would offer forgiveness of sins for the entire world. Well, this is a great promise. And matter of fact, I'll tell you what my name is now. My name is Abram. And the word Abram means great father. And so from an early age, I knew I had a special mission. I was supposed to be a great father. But there was one problem I had with being a great father. You may know what it is already. I didn't have any kids. It's hard to be a great father without kids. And so at this advanced age, 75, and I had a beautiful wife, Sarai, and she was 65. Things were not looking good. But I had a nephew named Lot, and Lot had some potential. He had some character issues, but Lot had a lot of potential. And so I thought, well, I'll just take my nephew with me. Maybe he'll be this one that God has promised. So I told Sarai, pack up your stuff, pack up the nephew, and off we would go to seek the mission God had for us. And so we traveled for a while. But unfortunately, as we traveled south, there was a terrible famine in the land. And as things got hard, we were hungry and desperate. And so we decided to go down to Egypt. And I'm not proud of what I did, but, you know, I did what I had to do. My wife was very attractive, and I figured, you know, Pharaoh's going to want her. If he sees me and he knows that I'm married to her, you know, something could happen to me. I'm not proud of what I did, but, you know, I had to get by. So I told Sarai to tell people that she was my sister. Well, she was my half-sister, so it was kind of a white lie, maybe. I thought it would be okay. And so the day came, so Pharaoh wanted her, and he took her away. There went Sarai. And I felt bad, I really did. But I thought, this is safer for me, really. Well, God plagued Pharaoh's house, because that was the mother that was supposed to give a child the promise. And bad things started happening, and he realized that she was my wife, and he brought her back to me, And you know what? Oh, I got scalded by a wicked, wicked king. Ooh, that didn't feel good. He said, why don't you just tell me the truth? And boy, that really hurt my conscience. And I felt bad. And Sarah, I couldn't have been too happy about this either. She says, what kind of a husband does this? Well, I had some flaws. What could I say? I wasn't always perfect. The next part of my life, I move up again, move north with my nephew Lot to a place called Bethel. And Lot and I had done very well for ourselves. And Pharaoh, when he wanted me to leave, he gave me a lot of stuff to leave. And so I accumulated a lot of possessions. I had all kinds of sheep and camel and servants. So back in those days, that meant I was rich. We didn't have currency. We had all kinds of animals and servants, and I had a lot of them. And my nephew also was blessed by God, and he had a lot of them. And so the problem was when we got to Bethel is he had a lot of his servants, and I had a lot of my servants, and we had all these animals mixed up. And it started causing friction between us and contention among the shepherds and the servants. And they thought that we were taking their grass, and they thought that they were taking our grass, and just all kinds of problems. And so we decided it would be better if we just split up. And so we went to the plains of Jordan, a beautiful area, well-watered. And I asked Lot, I said, Lot, you can pick what you want, and I'll pick the other way. You tell me. And this, my nephew disappointed me. He looked around, and he saw what looked good, and he used his eyes to make his decision. Rather than living by faith, Lot would live by sight. And he chose the area that looked the best, and he traveled down to a very wicked place, Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that would cost him his integrity and would cost him his family. But he did what looked good. He did what felt good at the moment. You know, it's easy for us to pick and choose things that look good to us and make decisions on outward things rather than having faith and trusting God and asking God for direction. I hope none of us do that, but that's what he did. And so he made a wrong choice. And so as he went towards Jordan, I went a different direction. God commanded me to move a different direction, so I went to Hebron, and that's where I dwelt. And that's where we set up our tents, and we had our livestock, and God blessed and prospered us. And things were going pretty well until the day came, and we heard about something that was happening. We heard about the troubles of Lot. You see, the area kings decided that they wanted the many possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the area kings banded together, and they swooped down and took off the inhabitants and their possessions, and they traveled. And when I heard the news, I had all of my servants that were able to grab a sword. 300 young men grabbed a sword. And I said, let's go rescue Lot. And we traveled a distance. And eventually when we got to Dan, we were able to catch up with those area kings. And I split the young servants that I had into two groups. And the two groups together I used to make a military maneuver. And I was able to free Lot and free his possessions. And this is also where I met Melchizedek. And this is where I tithed to him as well. And so this was the first time that Lot's wrong decision cost him. He ended up being in captive. So I still wanted to be a father, and time was still going on. And one day, though, the Lord appeared to me. And God said to me, I am your shield and your great reward. And I said, Lord, that's good. I don't have a son, though. I don't have any kids. And I thought, you know, I have this servant that I really trust a lot. His name is Eleazar. I said, Lord, maybe Eleazar could be the one that fulfilled the promise. Maybe he could stand before you. And maybe you could use him to be the one that will be my descendant and could bless the world. And God said to me, no. It's not Eleazar. I'm going to give you a son from your own loins, from your body. And this son that you're going to have is going to create a great nation. And your nation is going to be very, very widely seen. Matter of fact, there's going to be so many of your kids. They're going to be like the stars of the heaven. If you go outside on a clear night and you look up and see all these stars, that's the way your kids are. Can you count those stars? That's how your kids are going to be. And your kids are also going to be like grains of sand. If you go to a beach, look at all those grains of sand. You could never count them. That's the way your descendants are going to be. There are going to be that many of them. And so this was just so exciting to me. And I thought this is such a wonderful thing. And so God asked me, you know what, we're going to make a sacrifice. And so I brought three goats and three pigeons to make a sacrifice, and I left them there. And back then, the way we would make, we'd make covenant agreements, you cut an animal in half, and then the two parties would walk through the middle of the animal, and it was the message. This is going to happen to us if we don't keep our end of the bargain. And so there were the pieces. And I went to sleep that night. Some animals tried to come after, a vulture tried to come down and take the parts of the animals, and I shoot them off. And then I went to sleep. And in my sleep, I had a dream, and God was talking to me. And he said, you know, you're going to have some descendants, and they're going to be held captive for 400 years. Boy, if I'd only known what was going to come with Joseph leading my descendants into Egypt and Moses taking them out. And that's how long they were in captivity, a little over 400 years. And in my dream, I dreamed that there was a torch and it passed between the animals. And that signified the completion of the covenant that God was making with me, unconditionally, that he was going to fulfill his promise to me. But, you know, time passed. Still no kids. I always wanted to have kids. I'm supposed to be a great father. It's hard to be a great father when you don't have any kids. Not even one. Oh, this hurt me deeply. And God said it would come from me. And, you know, my wife Sarai felt bad for me too. And she told me, you know, I've thought about this. And I thought of a shortcut to what God says. You know, we can achieve what God says, but we'll just take a little bit of a different method. There's a custom in the people around here that sometimes a master will take his wife's servant, and sometimes she will bear a child for him. And, you know, I have this servant Hagar from Egypt, and, you know, maybe she can have this one. And I thought about it, and I thought, I don't know if that's right, I don't know if that's what God wants, but everyone else is doing it, it's a custom, it would be from me. I figured it would be okay. And I know I didn't make the best decision, but I thought, it'll work out, it'll be fine. Little did I know all the problems it would cause and what a terrible decision I was making. And the next day, Sarai was so mad at Hagar, and Hagar ran from her presence because Sarai was so angry and treated her with such scorn. And Hagar went out in the wilderness, and that's where God spoke to Hagar and said, Hagar, you cannot run. You have to go back to Sarai and submit to her. And God promised her, you will have a son, and his name will be Ishmael. And his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. And Ishmael would be the father of a nation. We have the Arab group today in the Middle East. And sometimes their hands are against other men, and other men's hands are against them if you watch the news. And so this prophecy was fulfilled. And so I thought, maybe Ishmael will be the one. And so I had Ishmael when I was 86 years old. We get down to chapter 17 of Genesis, and this is where God comes again, and he wants to make a covenant with me. And God says, I'm going to change your name from Abram, great father, to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he changed my wife's name from Sarai to Sarah at this point. And God commanded me to have all the men circumcised as a covenant to identify with God and God's ways. And so I told God, boy, I have Ishmael here. He'll complete the promise that you have. He can be a great nation. And God said, no, not Ishmael. That's the shortcut. You're going to have a son. It's going to be someone from you. And so I had to wait a little bit longer. Oh, this was so difficult. I just got an upgrade. Father of many nations, and I still don't have any kids. This is rough. And one day I was going about my everyday business around the tent, and lo and behold, a couple men appear. And these were angels. And I ran, and I got them bread, and we killed some goats. And we said, we're going to feed you a nice meal. And one of the men says, where's Sarah? I said, oh, she's in the tent over there. And the angel looked at me and said, this time next year, Sarah will have a child. Well, Sarah tried to stifle her laugh in the tent. Me have a kid, have a child? This is ridiculous. She thought it was so funny. And the angel said to her, is anything too hard for God? I noticed you laughed. And she was so ashamed, she said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. And he said, you did laugh. You did laugh, but God will fulfill his promise to you. And you know what? God at this time thought about it, you know, that I'd be the father of many nations. And so he wanted me to know something. He said, you know what? In the future, I have to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked city the city that promoted a homosexual life, and people that were so far from doing things God's way and laughed and they mocked God. And so God said he would punish them. And you know, I tried to negotiate for Sodom and Gomorrah because I wanted to save this place. There were people in that city that I ministered to. There were people in the city that I cared about. Not the least to mention my nephew Lot, who I thought had potential. And it would be sad for me to see God destroy this wicked place. But I tried to negotiate, but God still was going to destroy this wicked place. And we see in chapter 19 of Genesis this happening. The day came when God would destroy the city. God sent two angels to warn my nephew Lot. And God had mercy on Lot for my sake. And they came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the two men enter Lot's house. And the wicked men outside the house pound on the door and say, "Send out the two men." And they had evil plans for them. And Lot said, "I'll send out my daughters that are young. Don't worry about it." But the crowd, that wasn't enough for them. They were so evil and so wicked, they kept pounding on the door. And Lot went outside to talk to them, to soothe their nerves and offer them his daughters. And the men would not be silenced. And so the angels reached out of the door, and they pulled Lot in, and they slammed the door shut. And they blinded the crowd of people so they could no longer see the door. And the angel said to Lot, "This is the end. You have to leave this wicked place. God will destroy it. Take your family and go to the mountains and flee for your life before the destruction happens." And so my nephew Lot went to his son-in-laws and told him, "God's going to destroy this wicked city. You have to leave." And sadly, Lot's son-in-laws were so full of wickedness and had bought into the culture around them that they took the whole thing as a joke. They laughed at him. "Ha, ha, ha, we're fine. Why do you talk such crazy talk? Things are wonderful around here. You just need to relax. Things are going to be fine. God isn't mad at us. It's all fine." Sadly, Lot only had his two daughters and his wife to leave with him. And the angels told him the next morning, "We have to leave. And you can't look back to your old life. You have to move on." And the morning came when Lot, his two daughters, and his wife were at the edge of the city with their possessions in hand. And they could not leave. They were so gripped by the world, they were pulled back into Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that Lot had great influence. People looked up to him there as a city leader. And he felt like he had built something. He wasn't ready to leave. And the angels, because of God's mercy, grabbed Lot and his family and yanked him away from the city. And as they left the city, God sent down great fire and hail and destroyed the city and pummeled it. And Lot's wife couldn't help herself. She had to look back one last time. She wasn't ready to let go of the world. And God turned her like this into a pillar of salt. And so Lot left with his two daughters, two daughters who would be scarred by the world and would not have much of a testimony for God because they were so overcome with the wickedness of the place that they refused to leave. And they fled to the mountains. And so God showed mercy to my nephew. Shortly after this, I traveled south to Kadesh. And here's where I met a powerful man, a powerful king named Abimelech. And I saw Abimelech, and I was worried. And I tried to be brave, but I panicked again. And I told Sarai, my wife, "If he asks, you tell him you're my sister." And she's just like, "Oh, Abraham, come on." And so Abimelech took my wife again, the wife that would give me the son of the promise, because I was too afraid to face my fears. And the Lord plagued Abimelech's house, and he never got close to my wife. And he realized that she wasn't just my sister, she was my wife. And so he came to me and he said, "What's going on? My house is plagued." And so God said to pray for Abimelech, and I did, and his house was restored. And I took back my wife again. My wife was, did I tell you she's an attractive woman? My wife is a very attractive woman, believe me. All right, moving right along here. Chapter 21. The day came when I was 100 years old, which meant my wife was 90 years old. We were old people. We thought it was over. We thought all chances were lost. And finally the day came when Sarah was pregnant with a son. And we were so excited that God had fulfilled his word. And the day came when she conceived and she bare Isaac. And the word Isaac means laughter. Having that son that we had waited for so many years, And he would be the son of the promise that would create the great nations. We were so excited at what God had done. And he brought joy to our whole family. God had done a great miracle that day. And God did something wonderful for us. God had kept his word. And I got to be the father of the great nations that I had always wanted to be. What a wonderful blessing that son was. You may ask me, in the many years that you live, what lessons did you learn? I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that God uses faith like a mustard seed. Even the smallest bit of faith God can use. When we take him at his word, when we trust him, when we obey him, he can do great things to our life. You know, God was going to make me a great father. And I looked at first I wanted to think Lot was the one. And then I almost lost my wife in Egypt because I failed to trust God there. And then I thought Eleazar would be the one. I was looking for shortcuts to what God had said. And I looked for Ishmael. And then I almost lost my wife to Abimelech. All these things were happening. But I still had a little bit of faith. And God used that great bit of faith that I had to make something great. At the age of 100, I had Isaac. God will always keep his word to us if we have faith. We can trust what his word says to us. And even when we're imperfect, when we trust him, he can do great things with our lives. I would encourage each one of you to put your trust in Christ and in his word. I hope each one of you are not afraid to step out in faith and obey him. When times are uncertain, when he doesn't make sense to us, when we're confused by what his word says perhaps, we need to have the faith to keep going and keep trusting in him, because God marvelously delivers on his promises. And God did give me that child, and that like he promised. He gave me a child that had many descendants. And through him, we have the nation of Israel. And he gave me a special land, the land of Israel, that we look at today. And that's promised by descendants. And it's not completely fulfilled, but that promise is yet to come. He will fulfill his promise to my descendants. And through my descendant, all the earth will be blessed. 42 generations later, you have Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who comes from my line. And he died on the cross to offer the world salvation. He was the central figure in human history. And some people thought that I was better than him, but I was not. And when people ask me, and when people ask my 42nd generation from me, Jesus Christ, my great, 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 you do the math, grandson, he said this about me. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He would be much greater than I was. And so God fulfilled his promise to me in a great way that I was a blessing through my descendants to all nations. The faith that I have is memorialized in Hebrews chapter 11, where God praises my faith and Sarah's faith. The faith that we showed, however small it was, and the mighty way that God used it. I wonder, is there anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? He wants to be a blessing to you. He wants to offer you eternal life. Not because of your own works. Like me, I'm a good person, but I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, just like we all have. But because I believed in the one to come, and you believe in the one that came, Jesus Christ, he can save you as well. And I hope that you have faith in God's word, and you're willing to obey God, even when it doesn't make sense to you, and even when you don't understand completely. I hope you have the faith to trust God in your everyday life so that God can do a work through you that's marvelous and amazing. I hope that's what you believe. God can do great things with us when we put our faith and trust in him. Let's pray.